Radio MD.
RadioMD.com.
Hear it from the doctor with expert guests from the American Academy of Pediatrics. It's Healthy Children. Now, our favorite mom, Melanie Cole, MS.
Well, just as I am doing right now, getting my kids ready to go back to school, I know that every parent is kind of going through the same thing right now. We're all making sure our kids have all the supplies that they need and trying to get them to do things like, you know, organize their desk in their room and go to bed earlier. And we're figuring out lunches. I mean, there's so much going through with the back to school. So we're talking about how you can help your kids and ways that we can reduce some of that stress on the back to school time. My guest is Dr. P. Gail Williams. She's a developmental behavioral pediatrician at the Weisskopf Child Evaluation Center at the University of Louisville. Dr. Williams, so back to school readiness on every parent's mind. Tell us first about the new AAP policy addressing what constitutes school readiness.
Well, I really appreciate the opportunity to talk about this subject because I do think it's a really important one. And I think we've come to recognize that school readiness consists not only of the pre-academic skills that we often think about, but also a number of other areas. Certainly, we want kids to be physically well, and we've addressed their vision and hearing problems. Just as important are their approaches to learning. So we want kids to be curious and excited about learning and ready to go from the day one. Language development also plays a big part of that. So children who have had the opportunity to be read to and talked with throughout their days come to school with a big advantage. Their vocabulary is bigger. They're able to discuss a variety of topics, and that's huge in learning to read and other types of school skills. Just as important are social and emotional development. So children need to understand how to regulate themselves, how to relate to other children, how to take turns, how to be able to sit in their seat and attend. And kids are going to be variable as far as their presentation for school. Some kids are going to be more ready than others, but I think the big message in this technical report was we have a responsibility as pediatricians, as part of the community, the schools have a responsibility to foster these readiness skills in kids. And it doesn't start at 4 and a half getting ready for kindergarten. It really starts much earlier, actually during pregnancy. Well, having good quality prenatal care, having moms who know what to expect, who are treated for postpartum depression, if that is an issue. Those are crucial issues that pediatricians can address and be sure that they're helping families understand how kids learn. The more that we found out about early brain development, we realized kids learn through a combination of experiences and relationships. And we want those things to be just as positive as possible. One of the issues that has come up in recent years are the adverse childhood experiences. And those constitute things like traumatic experiences, physical neglect or abuse, exposure to violence, those types of things. And we know that children who are exposed to those ACEs are much less prepared for school in their readiness. They're much more vulnerable to physical and mental health problems down the road, and it impacts their whole life. So we want to be sure that we identify those things and that as a community and school, we support those children so that they can become more resilient.
Well, I couldn't agree more, Dr. Williams. And so as parents are starting to think, and as you say, the school and the communities, and there's so much involved in really getting our kids not only back to school, but helping feed their social and emotional readiness so that if they have had, as you say, adverse childhood experiences or any of those things, that we can help them to transition into that. But let's talk about some of the, you know, really common things parents are going through right now. If we had to make a list, starting with sleep and nutrition, getting our kids ready, because in the summer, especially teens, boy, it's up late and out, and then they have to start getting back up early again and getting off to school. And how can we get them into that routine pretty quickly? Because it's coming up now.
Yeah, it's already started in our area for many youngsters. So there are a number of issues. And again, this is not going to take place overnight. But I do think that, as you said, I think for any children now, we need to emphasize the importance of good nutrition. That's basic. It's part of the physical well-being, and that needs to be started early on. You know, when kids get to teenage years, it's probably a lot harder than it is when they're toddlers to address some of those subjects. So again, start from the very beginning. I think a good balanced routine is so important for every child. Unfortunately, I think we run into a lot of situations now where kids are almost obsessed with video games and spend so much of their time doing that. So I think using the summer months for opportunities to get out in the community, to interact with other kids, to do fun activities, to get regular exercise. It doesn't have to be major exercise, walking, swimming, whatever. To have that balance in their lives is so very important. And this issue of sleep obviously is very controversial. I think there certainly is some research evidence, especially with teenagers, that they would probably be better served by having later starts to school time. And I know that perhaps part of the reason that they don't is because of after-school activities and so on. But getting in that routine well before, taking at least a couple of weeks before school starts to start getting in a routine, getting up at a regular time, having the even though it's not a school day, having some regular routine in your day so that you have the stamina to get through the school day, all of those things are going to be really important. I also think, during the summer months, it is a time to rest and reinvigorate yourself, but also to, have some activities that surround school, particularly for those kids that are just learning to read and that kind of thing. The reading every day with younger children is extremely important, and it gives kids a love of books and a love of learning that, is just invaluable.
Certainly does, and it lasts for their whole life when you really get them to love reading and to love learning. And so, Dr. Williams, another thing that some parents experience, and many parents, especially with kindergartners, is that social and emotional readiness, the separation anxiety. Right. You're a pediatrician. What do you tell parents when they say, she won't let go of my leg? She's screaming and crying. She won't put her backpack on the little star. And, he won't get in the line and he's afraid of all the other kids. What do you tell them when a kid has that kind of separation anxiety? Because, I saw it firsthand and my son was fine, my daughter wasn't. What do you do? Do you sort of push them away? Do you stand there crying yourself as a mother? What do we do?
Well, again, I think it maybe starts a little bit beforehand so that you prepare the child. Boy, this first day of school is going to be so much fun. Just think about all the things that you're going to get to do. It's great if you can meet the teacher ahead of time and, have that orientation so the child knows what to expect and so on. in most cases, I do recommend, you know, if it's just regular separation anxiety, in a way, it shows that, you know, again, the child has the appropriate attachment and so on, but you want them to be independent. So you absolutely are not going to start crying yourself if you can avoid it. And you're going to say, oh, boy, again, we talked about the first day of school. You know the teacher. You know some of the kids in the class. You're going to meet some others. And just make that as routine as possible. You separate yourself immediately. And most of the time what I hear is that once the mom has exited from the situation, there may be crying for a few minutes, but then the child gets into the activities and does well. And you may have that the first few days or even the first couple of weeks, but gradually it decreases. And you encourage your child by saying, see how well you did. You know, you just did such a great job of separating. You're such a big girl or boy now. I am so proud of you. So the child knows, yeah, this has been a big milestone for me, and I was able to do it. So I think that's the kind of thing that, you know, we want to foster. There are some children who do have anxiety disorders, and it's not going to be as easy a process. But for the most part, I think, you know, most kids will adjust. And again, this is one of the milestones, and they're going to be very pleased with themselves for being able to go to school and learn to love school.
I agree. And getting them excited. Oh, you're going to meet so many friends. But you know, it is tempting to stand outside the window of their classroom and make sure that they're not still screaming. You know, it's like leaving the kid with the babysitter the other time.
Right. The only thing is with that, you know, and again, you as a parent, you have to reassure yourself that it is a good situation, that you're comfortable with the situation and so on. But most of the time, that is exactly the right way. And you get feedback from the teacher. Well, how did things go today? And is there anything that I could do differently to you that you think might make it a little bit easier for my youngster? I think that collaboration with school teachers, with the school, in developing supports for kids who do have a little bit more difficulty in that way, you know, it's just essential.
Before we wrap up, Dr. Williams, stress is such a big part of today's teen. I don't remember being that stressful, you know, and stressed out when I was a teen, but they are. How can we help them to settle in and time manage, whether they're involved in after school activities? Now with my son, when he joined gymnastics, I was really scared that his schoolwork would suffer, but it was just the opposite. The coach made him learn time management. How can we help our kids adjust from that summer of not having to deal with any of that to all of a sudden now they've got early bird classes, homework every day, maybe an after school activity? You know, all of these things kind of tied into one. Can we help them with time management?
Well, I think there are certainly strategies that can be used. And again, you know, I think discussion beforehand, you know, this is school, this is what you've got going on. You know, we want you to, again, get good sleep, be ready to address the day and so on. I think you want to be sure that it is a reasonable combination. I think there are a few kids who are just really, you know, they have no downtime. It's just going for one thing. So you want to be sure that there is a good balance in their lives of activities they enjoy doing. Actually, sports can be a really good release because we know that physical activity contributes to release of stress. So that can actually, but obviously in team sports, it may be in some sense contributing to the stress as well. But I think, again, a good balance and that we're not overdoing it. And if we feel comfortable with that, that, again, this is reasonable, this schedule and so on, you know, I think there's a lot of value to having a regular routine after school. And you develop that based on your family situation and the activities going on and so on. Using timers can sometimes be helpful, you know, focusing but taking breaks as needed. And, you know, again, to-do lists, whatever, ways of strategizing so that you get things accomplished in a timely manner. You know, a lot of the kids that I deal with have ADHD, so that many times you are using lots of visual cues and dividing work up so that it's not quite so overwhelming, taking one thing at a time, and then again, maybe taking a little bit of a break, holding out for rewards. You know, if I accomplish this, if I get that project turned in, you know, I'm going to do something fun because, boy, I worked hard on it and I deserve that. So I think those are some of the things that it is a challenge. There is no doubt about it. And, you know, I agree there are so many other distractions now, you know, including social media, that, you know, make it more difficult for teens to stay focused and on track. But I think along the way, the hope is that you've developed a good work ethic and that you have goals that you want to achieve and that you know that school success is a way to those goals. So it all kind of plays in together, I think.
I agree, and I think good communication with your child, especially your teen, and with your little guys, you know, early childhood experiences and early, you know, intervention and preschool, and I think all of those things help to make our children get ready for all of this. Do you have any final thoughts you'd like parents to know about back-to-school readiness, whether their child has special needs or is a little guy or a teen, and what you'd like us to know about helping our kids make that transition?
Well, I think there are a number of things that are important. And I think, you know, again, getting back to that, the way kids learn, learning through play and relationships and experiences, I think that's very empowering for parents of young children. You know, it's not that it's all dependent on you, but it is that you have a big part in your child's readiness, and you do that through everyday activities, giving positive opportunities for learning and talking and play. You know, those are the kinds of things that we want kids to have. And certainly we want to identify youngsters who have developmental and behavioral concerns early on so that we can get those addressed in an appropriate fashion. Maybe it's just through some positive parenting interventions, or maybe it is that the child will require some special services at school or through their early intervention system or whatever. I think from my perspective, pediatricians want to help with this. So I would suggest talking with your pediatrician about resources that are available if you have those concerns. Because, again, I think the earlier those are identified, the better we can intervene and make a real difference in a child's life.
Beautifully put, Dr. Williams, and it certainly is so true. So parents, that's what you got to do. You make your lists, work with your children, help them with that transition, feeding them healthy and exercise and trying to get them to sleep earlier. All of these things can help with that school readiness. And it's such great advice. And you're hearing that great advice from the experts at the American Academy of Pediatrics. They are the gold standard. And we love our pediatricians for all they do to keep our children safe and healthy. And that's really what this is all about. Therein lies the name. Healthy children. And you're hearing it right here on RadioMD.com. I'm Melanie Cole. Thanks so much for listening.